Welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today we want to talk a little bit about the signs of the times. Of course, we just had this eclipse and the world was supposed to end. And we have the Red Heifer issue going on. We had the ending of the Islamic day of prayer and fasting. And then, of course, we have all of the other nightmare fuel that's going around in the rest of the world. And it begs this question, is the end times near? And this is where we have a few differences of opinions in evangelicalism, where people are talking about one verse always thrown out is nobody knows the day or the hour. So therefore, the way that's oftentimes interpreted, particularly in some of the more Baptist traditions that I've been around, is that we can't even look at anything in the whole world. It's just like things are going on as usual, and all of a sudden, boom, something just different happens. But that is not the picture that Jesus paints for us in the Bible. While nobody can come up with a date or a time like Harold Camping tried to do, or like the Jehovah's Witnesses tried to do hundreds and hundreds of times, the Bible is clear that we are to watch for various signs. And during these various signs, we are going to start seeing evidence that the end is drawing near. And that is entirely what Matthew is writing in Matthew 24, when Jesus is talking about these end times. Now, the whole chapter is really fascinating to read. And then he has some signs. He's talking about some parables. These parables are not saying, oh, it doesn't matter what you do, or the basic interpretation you'll oftentimes find is always be ready, always be prepared, always be doing things for Christ, which is a correct interpretation. But to say that there's nothing out there ever that can say we're in the end times, it's just things go on exactly as they are, and then poof, the church disappears, is utter nonsense. It is utter nonsense from the scripture. Now, I want to have a look briefly at just a couple verses here, specifically verses 9 through 14 in Matthew 24, because they really give us some of the best evidence here. They will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you and will be hated by all nations because of my name. Oh, well, I thought we weren't there for that. But let's read on. At that time, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all of the nations. Now, what is most fascinating about that section is that it is not those people who have made a declaration of faith at one point in time. It's not the people who have said, oh, I've became a Christian, here's my baptism or certificate, or maybe my Sunday school certificate to prove that I have been a Christian for years and years. These texts that he says in there is, he who perseveres to the end will be saved. The one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Now, if you go and look at the various occurrences of that particular phraseology, that occurs several times. Matthew 10:22, you will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who's endured to the end who will be saved. Mark is a parallel passage in 13:13. You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. But down in 2 Timothy 2:12, we have a similar one. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. So we have to endure to the end. And James 1:12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And so with this, looking at these particular sections of scripture here, it is very clear that it is the people who persevere. It is those people at the very end are those who are actually coming to the final saving faith. It's not those who have made a declaration. It's not those who have done many great works. It is not those people who are saying one little prayer. Now, on the opposite side of this, going back to the original point, what are the signs of the times? The signs of the times are starting to unfold. If you follow a lot of biblical prophecy, if you follow a lot of things, and you look at the parable of the fig tree is about looking for the signs. The 10 virgins is about looking for the signs. We are commanded as Christians to look for the signs and to understand the time is drawing near. Now, I recognize nearly every generation has said, oh, the times are so bad. The time is coming. But we have not had all of the elements put together to suggest the end is actually really, really near. Now, here is the danger of the pre-tribulation rapture idea, is that many people have bought into this, but then when great trials and tribulations come in our world, if they are stuck on that viewpoint, they also are going to fall away. So remember, those who persevere are saved. Now, it's not that we can lose our salvation. The true Christians are marked. The true Christians are Christians who are not going to fall away by any way, shape, or form. They are going to be persevered through it all through Christ. This is why one of the sections that says that they will deceive, if possible, even the elect. The problem is the elect are not going to be deceived. But we start to see a better shot of who is really saved based on those perseverance. Remember that section in 1 John, they went out from us because they were not really of us. That is what he says in there. Now, there is one more parable which illustrates this very clearly, and that is the parable of the sower. And I'll read this since we've been in Matthew the whole time anyway. I'll go ahead and read the one from Matthew. Chapter 13, verses 3 through 8. So he who spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came by and ate them. Others fell in rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. When the sun had risen, they were scorched because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out, and others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He has ears to hear. Let him hear. I went all the way down to verse 9. Oh, well. So the principle of that particular parable is that when the gospel is presented, some people just don't accept it at all. But you have those two seeds. And I argued in my book, Testing and Temptation, that those two seeds are not actually saved. They looked saved. They are the multitudes that fill our churches in America, but they don't actually truly know who Christ is. They're showing up for they love the ideas of the church. They love the things that are going on. They love the programs. They love the people. They love the free concert. They love whatever they love, but they're not doing it because they truly are saved. They are the people who are fleeing under persecution. Those are those who have not persevered to the end. And they are those people who, they like this Jesus stuff, but they like the things of the world way, way better. And so they go ahead and follow along the ways of the world. It is only those who have cast off the worldly ways, it has accepted the gospel, and it is also those people who do not fall away under the persecution. Those are the ones who are truly saved. Those are the ones who have truly landed inside of the fertile soil. I bring this all up over the overarching scope to say the signs of our times, because the signs are such that we are drawing near to the end. And it's not that we're going to suddenly be brought up into heaven. That teaching is not found in Scripture very clearly, all right? And I understand a lot of people believe that. That's been the overwhelming teaching in our world in the last couple of generations. But we are going to experience some of the trials. We are going to experience some of the temptations. We are going to experience some of the issues that lead us into the worsening ways. And then we'll have a rapture, and then we see the wrath of God. You see, there's a difference between the tribulations and the wrath. And that is a point to be made. So that hopefully that is something as fun as the eclipse came upon us, and we got to see all that, and then they're talking about Hamas, and they're talking about Islam, and they're talking about the red heifers, and all these other things. Of course, don't forget the central bank digital currency, which starts sounding like the mark of the beast, and all this kind of stuff. We got the exciting world coming up, guys. persevere to the end. It is those who persevere whom are saved. Thanks for watching. I mentioned that book, Testing and Temptations. You can have a look at that book and my other books over the website at ourwalkinchrist.com. Subscribe to the channel if you've not already done so. Hit that notification button. And with that, thanks for watching. Hope you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's T-O-M-M. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.